bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Singing about Jesus is a good deal. I mean, the whole deal is about Jesus, and that's why we're here. I had a weekend pass with a bunch of GIs one time. You can sit down for a moment. And so we ran into these large group of girls, and there was a large group of guys, and it just so happened that there was one for each of us guys. And everybody kind of paired up, and I didn't really pair up, and there was one girl left over, and I was left over, and it was pretty obvious that I was not her first pick. And since everybody had paired off and we're going around this place, it was kind of like a Six Flags kind of a thing. It's like I had all the money to buy her anything or do anything in conversation, whatever. And she was just like, oh, great, I have to put up with this guy till when we're going to get out of here, that kind of thing. And I was a nice guy, and I was trying to have conversation and be helpful and everything. It didn't matter what I did. It was obvious she didn't want to be here, there. And I thought about that. I thought, I wasn't being a jerk. You could provide all sorts of stuff. And how many times Jesus Christ himself can provide whatever you need and want and have a relationship. And we're like that girl going like, yeah, what else is out there? You're not going to get better than Jesus, right? Now, he's the best of the best of the best of the best. He's the Lord of the Lord, the King of Kings. He's the whatever it is of the whatever it is, and he's the top. And I think sometimes we might get so used to, oh, yeah, this is church and we're Christians and everything like that, that you lose sight of the fact that we're supposed to be in a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And we just go through doing what we're doing and trying to be nice and walk in love and get everything done. And we somehow, sometimes we miss Jesus. Or we show up and it's not really obvious that we want to be with him. But we want to make it obvious to him that we want to be with him. And what an awkward experience trying to be nice to someone that really doesn't care that much. And I've often thought, well, how does God feel about all the people that don't want to be with him? But that's not going to happen with us. Nope. We want Jesus. We want more and more and more and more and more. Bless God. Thank you, worshipers. Woo! So what's that set on? Now I'm hot. 76. Okay. Hallelujah. Bless God. So when anybody hears 76, do they think patriotic or do they think Music Man? Music Man, yeah. 76 trombones. I was the Music Man in high school. I was Harold Hill. Yeah, you got trouble, my friend. Trouble in River City. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Hallelujah. Well, I think I went through all the announcements already, but it looks like there's some clipboards that I probably didn't cover, and we need to take up an offering too. You got a pile of envelopes there. I'm going to run back and readjust the recording.
Okay. We just need to pass this around one more time. If you have signed up for Reinhard Bonnke, we have a 15-passenger van, so what we need is 15 in the van, not 16 or 17. And so we've got some that have question marks, whether it'll be Friday or Saturday, and we just want to firm it up where you land. So I have Friday on this side, Saturday on this side, and the question marks about who's where. The ones that are definite are on each side. The ones that are questionable are in the center. So if you could put your name on the Friday or Saturday and cross it off so we know. The van was donated to us by Kunis Ford, thank God, because when we looked at the price, just renting through Enterprise Rent-A-Car for 15-passenger van for the weekend, it was $499. So thank you, Jesus. That was a huge blessing. So that works for us. Amen? Amen. And then we have some praise and presence night flyer, also praise in the park. Praise and presence is this Friday, and praise in the park is Thursday the 25th. So if you want to take one, hand it to somebody. Write the information just on your calendar or something, but invite somebody. There's people out there that need a church. There's people out there that need to worship the Lord. There's people that need to get saved, and we can introduce them. This is a vehicle. Amen? All right. And I'm not sure if we've... I think we'll just let this lasagna go. We pass that around Sunday. We'll pass that around Sunday again. This Sunday, we have Sue Bierman coming to minister. Guys come early. Everybody comes early. Ladies get a cinnamon roll, too. But we're honoring the guys. So we're going to have big, fat cinnamon rolls and coffee at 9:15 Sunday morning. So you can join us for that. And then we're having Sue Bierman minister in the morning service. So I think that's it for announcements. We're going to go ahead and take up our tithes and offerings. Did you want this, or? Okay. All right. I'm just a lot of people jumping on board to get things cleaned up and prepped and ready for this these meetings coming up. And I just thank you for your time and energy and finances. And everybody's just jumping in, doing all sorts of stuff. So it will all get done. I'm excited about it. Cheryl, you need to move over where there's a vent. Except if you do, you can't sit by Kathy.
Bless God.
Let's go ahead and we'll pray for that. Thank you. Father, we just thank you once again that we're able to give into this offering. We thank you for your hand upon our lives, for always supplying for absolutely everything we need. We pray that you would be glorified and magnified, and we just pray for those that are not here tonight, those that are in hurting relationships, for restoration to come about. Strengthen them right now. Those that are sick in their bodies, Father God, that your healing anointing would just flow through them right now and drive that far from them. And Father, if there's things that are distracting and pulling people, we just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would draw them and grab their attention and that they'd focus on you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, your hand upon our lives. And we just pray that you'd be glorified in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless God. Well, I'm going to do something I normally don't do, but what I'm going to do is pass around this little tin box, and in it is just a whole bunch of Indian arrowheads. And so I'll start over here. And I'd like you to help me tonight with the Bible study, to come to some spiritual truths. You can look at them and hold them and touch them or whatever and pass them on. I found these on Monday. And Monday it was raining. I told Pastor Shelley, it's going to rain in about a half hour. And I'm going to go out, probably get rained out. And it was a nasty, mucky. I'd been through that field at least four times this year already, for about 6 to 8 hours up and down the rows. I wanted to go out one more time. I hadn't found anything this year, really, of any significance at all. Kathy found this stunning, gorgeous, unusual arrowhead. I think maybe second time we went out, right, this year? And so these arrowheads, And there's a lot more. I just brought five of them. I think I've found seven or eight whole ones Monday night. And it was over an area that I'd been there before, and over and over and over and over. So here's the question, and I want to connect this with miracles, because when Jesus Christ said, if you don't believe the words, at least believe in the miracles. Jesus had two things going for him: his words, and not everybody listened to the words. You run into people, your own family, your own friends, people you work with, and most of the time it's like, oh yeah, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and that's what you believe. Everybody believes different. Oh, religion is a personal thing, and we don't talk about it. But when a miracle happens, people want to stop and go, what happened? And then they're up. They want to see a miracle. They don't want to see you bouncing off a car. But you know, I mean, all of them, some of them might. but the miracles that are coming up, more and more and more miracles. Now, here's the question that we want to answer. There's a lot of right answers to this one. A lot of right answers. Here's the question that I want to ask tonight. Why do I find a lot of arrowheads? What? That's kind of one reason. I do confess, when I go out, I do say my steps are ordered of the Lord. I do say my steps are ordered of the Lord. 2 years ago, I went out looking and didn't find anything. And on my way back to the Jeep, I was saying my steps are ordered of the Lord the whole way. And I was going back to my Jeep, and I got skunked and didn't find anything. And I heard on the inside of me, turn left. Now, I didn't hear it with my ears. I heard it on the inside of me, and I stopped, and I thought, well, I've got nothing to lose if I turn left. So if I turn left, I'm going back to the car anyway. I'm done looking. I took about a dozen steps, and right there on the ground, above ground, was this large axe head, completely whole axe head, a big, big axe head. It's really cool looking, and it's at my house. And the issue was that, yeah, I do confess it, but, and I think you should, if you're looking for something, what does the Bible say about seek? You shall find. Okay. So I was seeking, but you said ask. Ask and it shall be given, right? Ask and believe and receive. Okay, so that's real important, right? What if you don't ask? A lot of people don't ask. And some do. And some do. It's a mix sometimes. And we're trying to figure out as a Christian how we can get the asking and how we can get the confessing, how we can get it to work more consistently, because we'd like to be batting 100%, right? Right. What if we had a professional baseball team that every time this one batter got up, he hit a home run every single time he got up? What would happen to everyone else? They'd show up to see this phenomena, right? Right? Yeah, they would. What happens when you are known for miracles? What's that one girl's name? Heidi? Neil Baker. Heidi Baker. There's different people that all of a sudden miracles are around them, and everybody talks miracles around them. And what happens? Miracles. Okay. Now, why do I find a lot of arrowheads? That was a good answer. It's not wrong. We're going to look at the different avenues. Why do I find arrowheads? Huh? Because I'm looking. I find arrowheads because I'm looking for arrowheads. Okay? Duh. Okay, stay with me. Who finds miracles? That's right. That's right. Those that are looking for miracles, they have a tendency to experience miracles. How about those that are just living through life and whatever happens, happens, and, oh, gee, God's in charge of everything, don't you know? If God was in charge of everything, then he's in charge of the kiddie pornography industry, he's in charge of the crack cocaine industry, he's in charge of murders and rapes and robberies and everything like that. Is God in charge of everything? No. And people will teach it like it's a scripture somewhere that God is sovereign. Now, he is sovereign over what we submit to. He is sovereign over the future. He's sovereign over heaven. He's sovereign over eternity. He's sovereign over that. But is he sovereign over planet Earth right now? Right. Yes and no. On a limited basis. That's correct. Yes and no. The answer would be yes and no. When we submit to him and give him sovereignty over our lives, he's sovereign. He's the sovereign God over our lives, and he'll lead us and help us. That's why I said you never need to make another major decision in your entire life if you don't want to. You don't have to. Why? Because all you have to do is ask him what he wants and then do that. A lot of people get real freaked out when they have to make a decision, especially a biggie, a major decision. And they get so frustrated and anxious over, oh, I've got to make a decision. What if you get really good at hearing from God? To the point where you know that you know that you know that God just spoke to you about it, and you just do that. After a while, people that are anxious about decision-making, if they learn to listen to God, they don't ever have to make another decision again. They let God make the decision, and then they ask him, what's your decision, God? Now, some stuff falls into the red tie, green tie category. God, what tie should I wear this morning? And he might say, pick one. There is a will of his that gives you choices. Should I marry or not marry? That's up to you. It's up to you. You can, and you're within the will of God. And if you don't, you can be within the will of God. What? If it's the right one. Yeah, that's correct. Well, you have to marry a believer, somebody equally yoked, and you got to figure that one out. Of course, they're going to be entirely different from you. Bless God. Anybody ever read that Buck Tanglewood book where he comes to the revelation of relationships, how they work? And he says, just let me do anything I want to do anytime I want to do it, and we'll get along fine. It's ingenious, right? So why do I find a lot of them? Now, God has graced me, but he graced me for everything. He graces you for everything. Grace is God's ability working through your life. That's what grace is. That's all it is you couldn't take another breath without God. When we had a gentleman, I'm not going to say his name, he died, but before he died, he's a wealthy man, very influential, generous man. There's a lot of things about him, but he was an atheist. And we made the mistake, Pastor Shelley and I made the mistake of talking to him one time and say, you're really blessed. He was surrounded by family, he had money, he had education, he had position. And he got really angry with us. He said, that implies that it came from somewhere else. I'm a self-made man. By us just saying you're blessed implied that that blessing came from outside of himself, that it actually was some kind of God intervention that helped him. Of course, he was ignorant and blind to the fact that it was God. See, not all lost people are rebellious and belligerent. Most of them, I suppose if you looked at the scripture, all of them are blinded. deceived. They just don't know. They don't know the truth that you know. Do you understand that there's empty seats here tonight, but the people that are sitting in the seats, you, the knowledge that you have about eternity and about God and salvation and healing and deliverance and protection and love and hope and everything, the world doesn't have that. And they're doing everything they can do to try to get it. Whether it's sex, drugs, rock and roll, a career, attention, money, whatever they're trying to do, they can't get what you've already got because you just maxed out. The people sitting here, and I can see all your faces, you've got salvation in Christ already. You've got the ultimate. You're a child of the Most High God. You can't get higher than that. You're maxed out already right now. Your destiny, eternal destiny, has been set so high that there's nothing higher than that except Christ and God Himself. Christ also being God, of course. Christ and God the Father. And we're living with that. And other people that look like they have things of the world, that's going to be nothing. God is not impressed whether you have $1 billion in the bank, whether you have 12 diplomas on the wall. It doesn't impress God. Doesn't impress God at all. He's not impressed by that stuff. If you walked to heaven right now and walked in and dumped $1 billion in front of God, how impressed would He be? The one who can speak a planet and make it solid gold. Is He going to be impressed by your... No. The one who knows everything has never been wrong. Is He going to be impressed by your diplomas? No. The one who can speak universes into existence, He's going to be impressed with your career. No. I mean, there's nothing that we've got on the best day, the smartest, the best looking of anybody on planet Earth. It's nothing compared to what everybody in this room has right now. That's why the Bible says, have you forgotten your status as children? Sometimes Christians forget their status, and they revert back to the way the world is doing. Struggle. Struggle. Forgetting that they're a child of the Most High God. Whew. But those struggles do come at times. They're there. They'll be in your thought life. I mean, you might have to fight your way through some other things. Everything on planet Earth that is a problem is temporary. There is no permanent problem on planet Earth. None. Zero. None. Well, how about Carrie dying? Is that a problem? Where's Carrie? She crossed the finish line, right? Okay. God's ultimate long-term permanent destiny will for her is what? That she would be with Him in heaven forever. That's the finish line that she would have to cross to get God's maximum will, right? Where is she now? She crossed the ultimate finish line. She's already maxed out in the perfect will of God in her eternal destiny, and she's already there. Is that a problem? Not for her. Is it a problem for us? Only in a matter of time, right? Only in a matter of time. And anything with time, it's going to be up. It's ticking down. Is there any problem on planet Earth that's permanent? None. None. Even if you left early and went to heaven, it's permanent. Even the people that lost people here and they have to wait until they go to heaven, it's still temporary. It's a temporary problem. It goes away. There's only one problem eternally, and that is somebody winding up in hell. And nobody in this room is going to experience that. No one. I mean, I suppose somebody could walk up and say, I reject you, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. Who would do that? Who would do that? The Bible does talk about the slim possibility that somebody might do that, having tasted the good things of God, that they reject Him. But who would do that? Somebody would have to be so deceived, and it'd have to be so willful. When I was working the mental clinics and had mental health caseload, I had a couple of different people with thought disorder. And there's a lot of religious teaching and stuff going on with people with a lot of disorders. And so a lot of them knew the scripture about if you reject Jesus Christ, that there's no repentance and you have to go to hell. Well, they would think the thought, I reject you, Jesus Christ. And then the devil jumps on that and they go, oh no, I'm lost, I can't, you know. And they'd be freaking out about it, thinking that they lost their salvation. They've got just the tiniest amount of revelation that there is salvation. And then the devil comes along and tricks them into thinking that if they think it or said it, and they've got thought disorder. They have difficulty controlling their thoughts. So you ask them, are you bothered about it? Yeah, they're freaked out about it. Then you're not lost. The person that rejects Christ and doesn't care at all. And so if somebody thinks, oh, that thought came through my head. Oh, no, I wonder if I'm still saved or not. The answer is, are you bothered by it? Yeah, you're saved. You're still good. That's just a passing demonic thought to challenge you and shake you. It is possible that people could reject Christ, but even then, that's a long, long shot, and the percentage of people on planet Earth compared to who's going to be in heaven, it's going to be a microscopic amount of people that would ever do that. That's why I'm saying nobody in here is going to do that, ever, on your worst day. Would never do that. Some people try to get mad at God and try to punish him, won't go to church, or says, well, I'll hurt God, he hurt me. And that's not true. God never hurt anybody in ever. So Brother Hagin was teaching us about this lady, a pastor's wife, really good musician. And there was, I don't know if it was the music director. I think it was the music director. Hope I get the story pretty straight or close. started complimenting her and saying, you know, you're such a good singer. You, boy, you know, you could be in a nightclub. You could be professional. I mean, you're that good. And she started to get in an attitude, I am good. I am good. They don't appreciate me here. She ran off with the music teacher, the pastor's wife, or the worship leader. Ran off with them to go be a star, have this great professional singing career. Well, shorten the story up, Brother Hagin found out where they were. Goes and sees her. I don't know if it was a motel room, an apartment, or what. I think it was a motel room. Opens the door. She opens the door. And there's this lady. Now, sometimes in the spirit realm, you see things that other people don't see. He saw a black dot, a large black spot in her mind. In the spirit realm, it wasn't there physically. It wasn't like she took a black magic marker and put it there. As he's looking at her, there's this dark dot. And darkness usually represents evil or the devil or ignorance. And he starts this conversation with her. He's really trying to get her to come back and do right and be right. You know, there's a husband and a church and all this, and she needs to be back with her husband and working in the ministry, not with pursuing this career with this guy that she ran off with. They kind of have this exchange. And the basic gist of it was that she didn't like him showing up or anything like that. And he's trying to bring her back to the Lord. And for all practical purposes, she said, Jesus can go to hell. And you and everybody else. And he said that when she said that, he saw that black dot drop, and it stopped at her heart. It was in her thoughts. It was in her head. And at that point, he knew she was lost when that black dot went from her head to her heart. Interesting, huh? But that's not going to happen to anybody here. no deception, no confusion. We've already stepped into the closest thing to our eternal destiny. We have a life to finish here on earth. And this life involves, the reason why we're still here is to tell other people about Christ, both with our words and with our actions. Even it says, the Bible talks about in marriage relationships, if you, a woman's living with an unsaved husband, that she might win him with her behavior, because he's probably not going to listen to her words all the time, but will win with the behavior. Remember England, Smith Wigglesworth. Boy, his wife would go to a church meeting. He'd lock her out for the night. She'd come home, couldn't get in the house. She's locked out. So she'd sit down and fall asleep outside the door. He'd get up in the morning, open the door, and she'd be there. She'd get up, go in and make him breakfast and get ready for the day. He locked her out, made her sleep outside. Kept doing that. Who won that battle? Jesus did. The love that flowed through that woman. I mean, he was a plumber. He couldn't even read. She helped teach him. He learned to read fairly quickly. He was in his mid to late 50s when he began his ministry. Incredible. Win them by the behavior. So the reason why we're here on planet Earth and we have something to finish is there's still people that are going to cross your life, supernatural connections. And it's going to happen on ordinary days. Tonight, this late afternoon, I went to the pastor's luncheon, and afterwards I thought, there's just one more field I want to go to, and the farm that I grew up on. I wanted to go back there and look for arrowheads. I'd found some there before, but there was a young man, I hadn't seen him in years. I had taught him how to find arrowheads, and it became a hobby with him, and so he was pretty excited. He never found one before. I went over, and up until then, any arrowheads I found, I was given to his parents at the farm that they was at. And finally, I went over there. His sister said, my brother wants to learn how to find one. And so I went over there, and he was there 1 year. I said, I'll show you how to find arrowheads. And I took him back there, and we found some arrowheads, and then he was hooked. That was his new hobby. I lost track of him a long time ago. He had some serious back problems and stuff and was on some pain medicine and couldn't work and rough shape. And two bridges are out, so I had to drive a long ways around a detour and come down a dead end to get to the farm today. But he doesn't live at the farm. He lives in another city. So I get out and knock on the door. Nobody's there. So I leave my name and my phone number on my car, so if anybody comes out and wonders, what's that car doing there? I grab my pokey stick that I take when I go looking for arrowheads. You got to have a pokey stick because otherwise, early on, you pick up a lot of bird droppings. They happen to land flat, and they're white. And after a while, you just poke everything with a stick first, you know? Otherwise, you pick up a lot of bird droppings going, oh, man. So I'm there, and the old barn on the homestead is down now, but the silos are there. So I grab my stick, and I head around the barn to the corner of the field, and all of a sudden I stop and I look up and I'm face to face with him. He's coming out of the field, I'm coming into the field. So we talk for the next half hour. And he told me some vital information that'll probably be helpful to me. And I shared some things with him. And I thought, it's been years and I've wondered where he was. And I thought, the timing of that, for me to turn the corner and he be coming out and I'm coming in, obviously it was God. It was so obviously God. That encounter was a supernatural encounter. But that's why we're here. That's why we haven't gone to heaven yet. Because when we say our race isn't up yet, what does that mean? The people connections and conversations you're going to have between now and the end of your life here all count. all of them count for the kingdom of God. His word is not going to return void. Where is his word going to be? A dry ink on paper sitting under a pew or a chair? How's that going to not return void? A stack of Bibles at the dollar store or Walmart? No, only when his word is communicated to another person. That's what he's talking about. That's not going to return void. It's going to produce. Now, said all that to say this. We are entering a revival time, and I believe it's going to be the final revival of all time, the largest revival that's ever been seen on planet Earth, and I believe it's going to last many years. And it's going to be known for miracles. It's going to be known for repentance, and it's going to be known for love. Do you know what a witness the church would be today if Christians walked in love? Whew. You ever been with any other Christians and you're at a store with them in a restaurant or something like that, and they're going off on the waitress or the clerk or whatever? And you're almost embarrassed about, like, come on, you know, we're supposed to be Christians here. And they're just reading them the riot act, and they demand that their product that they're buying has to be this way, and you know, they send their meat back because, you know, I asked for medium rare, and this is just medium. I wanted medium rare. You're going, you know, you ever been with a Christian like that? You ever wanted to get away from that Christian? Yeah, me too. It's like, whoa. What if the church walked in love? What would happen? Amazing. So they're going to be drawn by love, but before they're drawn by love, they have to be drawn by sight. They're not walking by faith. The world does not walk by faith. I know that they believe certain things and certain things happen. What is going to attract their attention? First of all, the miracles that they're hearing about and seeing, they're going to stop because it doesn't make sense to them. If the supernatural is real, they want to know. A lot of them hunger for the supernatural. A lot of them go off into cults and other false religions and studies all kinds of weird, spooky stuff because they have a desire for the spiritual. If somebody comes up and says, and I've run into a couple of these already, I'm a white witch. You know what that tells me? She has a hunger for the spiritual things. I'm a white witch. I only do good. Two things. She has a desire to be a blessing, and she doesn't know how to do it or what to do with it. Doesn't know at all. Versus an atheist that walks up and said, there is no God. You are a fool. Versus the person who's seeking things out, looking for the answer. So the miracles are going to grab their attention. The love is going to grab their emotion, but we're still not there yet. The word is going to grab their spirit. The miracles will get a hold of their flesh. Love will get a hold of their soul, their intellect, their emotions, their will. But that still doesn't get anybody into the kingdom of God. Well, we'll just love them in. You won't love them in without the word. There's a lot of churches do a lot of nice things for a lot of people around here, and their people go to hell. Because you have to have the word that draws their spirit. We need all three. And if we're reaching the world, we're going to have miracles to draw their flesh, the love in operation to draw their soul, and the word of God to draw their spirit unto life itself. Because we get it backwards. A lot of Christians, what do? They run and shove a Bible in front of somebody's face, and that person has not experienced any love from them yet, only condemnation from other people. They haven't seen any sign or evidence that God is real, no miraculous, nothing supernatural at all. And we go, well, didn't you hear that tongues and interpretation? That's a miracle. And they go, that's just gobbledygook. I don't even understand that stuff. You're making that stuff up. We often get it so backwards, we think, we'll just shove the word in their face. And that'll have to do it. Sometimes you have to earn the right to speak into someone's life. Don't you? You have to earn the right to speak into someone's life. We get everything backwards. Today at the pastor's meeting, they said, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is going to build his church. Right? And we're supposed to win disciples, make disciples of people. And this one pastor at the luncheon said today, we've been doing it backwards. We're trying to build the church and have Jesus make the disciples. I thought, yeah, we have been. We got it backwards for so long. But that's why we're entering the age of miracles, because God, it wants to do a move, not with the saved, but he wants to draw the attention of the lost. And we have to have love or it's not going to work. They're not going to listen to you without the love. We'll get their attention with the miracles. We'll get their emotions with the love, where they know that you care. And then God gets their spirit with the word. And that's what this final revival is set up for. And that's why they're going to be leading with the miracles, because the lost will be coming in. We talk about reviving, coming alive again, about the church body. But do you know how many churches around here are really up for a revival right now? A lot. A lot. Across this nation, across this world, they're ready for it. But what are the miracles for? So we can have a Shazam moment, have goosebumps on top of goosebumps. And I love miracles. But most of the miracles are for the other people. Most of the miracles, even though you can receive a miracle yourself, most of them gets their attention. And a miracle will fall short of someone going to heaven. Jesus did miracles, right? Did that always work for them following him? No. He always walked in love too, didn't he? Did he quote the word and stuff? Yeah. There was mixed results with that, wasn't there? Mixed results. And he said everything perfect and walked in love perfectly and stuff like that. I know it. The sound of a miracle. So that's what God's doing. So the original question was this: why do I find arrowheads? Did you pass those arrowheads around? Yeah. Why do I find arrowheads? Because I'm looking for them. I'm looking for them. I'm looking for them. If I'm looking for them, I find them. If I'm not looking for them, somebody might accidentally, occasionally run across one. Extremely rare, and it's right in the path, and there it is, and they trip over the top of it. What happens to the people that go out in the rain and the muck and go out and walk the miles? What do they find? What they're looking for. And what's it going to take for this revival? It's going to be some days of walking in the rain, going without some sleep sometimes. A little extra prayer here and there, believing God for the miracles, and then following the miracles up with a love walk and the word. And together, we're going to have the largest revival that's ever happened ever in history of the world. Why? Because Revelation talks about it, says that no man can number. a number so huge that no man can number. Not that God wouldn't know the number. Of course God would know the number. But to a person, Reinhard Bonnke, when you see those pictures of a million people or half a million people, do you know how many people are there? No. You look at those crowds as far as you can see and you go, oh, I'm astonished. Most of the time his crusades were paid for by Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We support Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Tonight's offering, a little small tiny percentage goes into Kenneth Copeland Ministries, which pays for some of those Reinhard Bonnke big deals and stuff. God knows how to keep track and keep count. Anyway, I said I'd be done early and I didn't. My apologies, it's 8 o'clock, but we're going to stop now. But did we answer the question, why do I find arrowheads? Because I look for them. And why do we find miracles? We're looking for them. We're looking for them because God said they're starting. And they started a couple months ago, and they're not slowing down. And they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger and grander. And I'm up for the miracles. I'm up for the miracles. It's exciting. It's exciting. More exciting is the step two, the love of God, the love God shed abroad in our hearts through us. And then more exciting above that is what? His word, yeah. The eternal security that's found in his word that will seal the deal in the salvation and destiny of those that we reach out to. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we glorify you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word, your written word, your spoken word. It will not return void. We believe by faith in miracles. We believe in your love. We believe in your word. And we have all three. We're willing to follow you and host whatever kind of revival, refreshing move that you want to make. We're here and we're with you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace in each person here tonight. Another miracle for this week, Lord, in every person's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. I don't know what your miracle is going to be this week, but everyone in here will have a miracle occur this week. Everyone will have a miracle occur this week. Amen. Bless God.